Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay or bisexual or anything that's not heterosexual men. How's that? Each week, my co-host is Misty Hall, and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. And good evening, Misty. How are you?
Good evening, Bonnie. I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I just want our listeners to know, in case they would like to call in, that they are welcome to do so. I will give you the call-in number, although we will have a shortened show tonight because it is a holiday here in the United States. I know that we have many women who are listening from other parts of the world, but it's our Memorial Day when we commemorate our fallen soldiers, and I don't know if they necessarily have to be fallen. I like to commemorate anybody who's been in the military to protect any country. But our call-in number tonight is area code 646-716-4893. I will repeat that. Area code 646-716-4893. And if you have any issues you would like to talk about, please feel free to call us. I would like to remind people that this Thursday, May 31st, I will be in New York for dinner. I'll be meeting with some of our wonderful women, and if you would like to join us, just write to me at bonk@aol.com. We'll be meeting in Midtown Manhattan, and it will be a really great few hours to spend together with some very funny and wonderful women. So once again, if you are interested, write to me at bonk@aol.com, and I'll be happy to hook you up with where we're meeting. And it's already early to talk about this, but I do want to mention it because it's June next week, Misty. Can you believe it?
No, I cannot believe it's already June into this year. This is crazy. I was thinking of that today. Wow.
I know. So I wanted to announce to people that if you are interested in September 28th and 29th, I'll be having my annual Philadelphia get-together. And I was really not planning to do this again in Philadelphia, but we had such a wonderful group come last time that it was worth it to me to say, yes, let's do it again. So if anybody would like to join us for a Philadelphia weekend, write to me also at bonk@aol.com, or you can read about it in my upcoming newsletters. And if you're not getting the newsletters, you can write to me for that also. You can write to me for just about anything. So now that I've made my announcements, first of all, how is the heat in Kentucky, Misty?
Oh, my gosh. Today I thought, wow, maybe I should be in Florida. Where I live in Florida was like in the 80s today, and here in Kentucky it was 95. It was miserable. But you know what? It's okay. I can handle that because I know it'll cool down in a day or so, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. I know. It's hot all over the place, but it's a preview of summer to come. And I get really agitated in the heat, but thankfully I'm just sitting here with my air conditioner on, beating down on me. So.
Thank God for air conditioning.
I don't know how people used to live without it before.
I don't either.
Well, I will tell you something else interesting, Misty, while we're on the subject of announcements, but I'm not making this one in full yet. I have finally rewritten one of my books that I took off the market a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And send it over to my publisher, and hopefully it will be out within, you know, next few weeks, sometime definitely by the end of June. And this is my book called Man Readers, A Woman's Guide to Dysfunctional Men. And I had written this book about 6 years ago as part of a group plan that we were going to do something, me and several of my friends. And the group never came about, but in going back over the book, there were, like, so many good things in there. For women, not just for women married to gay men, but for women who are moving on to their next relationship, on how to avoid all kinds of predators that are out there looking for vulnerable, wonderful women like us. And I think that women are really naive when they go back into the world and they don't know what to do when they're dating. So this book helps women become their own, what I call man readers, to really read a man before you get too involved with him. How to find out what all his problems are, you know, and it discusses all the different kinds of unsavory men that there are, men who have all kinds of emotional problems, sexual problems, because it's unlikely that, you know, I'm not saying it's impossible, it certainly does happen that you'll find the next husband or next man in your life to be gay, you know, I have one wonderful woman who I'm friendly with through our network who it's happened to several times. But, you know, as a rule, you know, most of the times, you know, this doesn't happen. But that doesn't mean you'll find some, won't find some other kind of predator unless you learn how to build yourself up, not keep repeating the same mistakes you made before. And unless you heal, you know, and you go through recovery, then you're going to go out and find somebody else who's a disaster. So this book really was very popular with a lot of women, so I really wanted to republish it and add it and update it. Different things you can do to check out men when you first meet them so that, you know, a lot of things that men who are looking to take advantage of you are not expecting you to, you know, do or to ask. So I'm really excited that this book will be coming out, like I say, probably by the end of June. And I'll keep announcing it as it's coming along. But I think it's a great guidebook for women who are in bad marriages or relationships and now they're going to be starting again so they don't make the same mistakes over and over and over.
And it's so important. It's truly, you know, being a marriage and family therapist is so important because, you know, that's what I always look at is the relationship patterns when, you know, you have someone in therapy. It's so important as a woman that's getting out of a relationship that has gone awry, has gone horrible. You really got to take inventory of the relationships you have with people because it's, you know, it's as the old saying goes, you will maybe change addresses, but you may have the same man. You know, basically, so what that says is, you know, you're repeating patterns if you're not careful. You really have to be mindful to stop that. So I can't wait till that comes out. I know I have the original version. I can't wait to see the updated version. I think that'll be a great addition to all the women that listen to this show.
Yes, and to women everywhere. I dedicated the book to women who have low self-esteem, of which I am a great advocate for and a great victim of. But, you know, I work every day on building my self-esteem, and fortunately I found a wonderful man who helps me do that by making me feel that I am beautiful and worth loving, and, you know, he loves my body no matter how fat it is. He just says more of me to love. You know, this is the kind of man that you have to feel good about yourself when you have somebody like this. And so many women, you know, write to me how they've restarted their lives. You know, it just amazes me that, you know, women are, in fact, I have some really good letters coming up, not next month in my next newsletter, but in the July newsletter, next month, or this month's newsletter is really devoted to gay men telling their story so there can be better understanding. But this was like one really nice letter that I read, you know, 2 days ago, and I asked this woman, Jody, if I could share this letter. And I put it in the next newsletter, but it says, "Dear Bonnie, I'm happily sending you a request to be removed from your newsletter list. I can't thank you enough for saving my life. I can't imagine where I would be today if not for you and your work. I will be forever grateful to you. You have changed the lives of so many women like me, confused, heartbroken, and married to closet homosexuals. I'm now in a relationship with a very, very straight man, and I finally get it. I would read all the letters from the other women who were with straight men and would write about how different and wonderful it was. I always wondered if I would ever know. Let me tell you, it is like night and day. I have an absolute gem who compliments me, wants to be with me, takes care of me, and is so affectionate. It's wonderful, and I am so happy I have come full circle. Thank you so much, Bonnie. I wish I could repay you for giving me the life I was meant to live. Your work is so important and so priceless. You are doing great things. Thank you, and God bless you, Jody." And, of course, I asked her if I could have permission to, you know, repeat that in the newsletter, which I always do with anybody sending me a newsletter. But, you know, the thing is that when I get these letters, Misty, I just feel so good that women take back their lives that they were meant to have.
Absolutely.
And that's why I'm so clear in my mantra that life was never supposed to be this complicated, period. We were not meant to live these lives. I mean, we were not supposed to have this kind of anguish and this kind of hurt and feel put down and feel that we're not good enough or we're not sexy enough or not lovable enough or having to think every day, what are we doing wrong? I mean, that's not what our lives were supposed to be. You know, we made a mistake, not intentionally, certainly unintentionally, but it was the wrong marriage to the wrong man. And when I think about how many years women put into these bad marriages, it really saddens me. And, you know, the longer you stay, I think the harder it is to get out of it. I I think you become more mentally broken. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, I will describe myself, absolutely. You know, every situation's a little different, but that completely, what you just said, described my situation. The longer I stayed, the harder it became to come out. I mean, I created more obstacles for myself, almost, and I began living more as a victim and just letting things happen to me that I just didn't stand up for, and it became harder and harder because I was beaten down more and more. Less confidence, less self-esteem, less all the things that you need to push yourself forward sometimes. So absolutely, the longer I stayed, the worse all those became. And it was not easy to regain that. But I did. You know, I was in the relationship over 10 years. And it should not have lasted a week. After I, you know, cause if I would have trusted my intuition that something was wrong, but of course I didn't do that. Kept living on hope that tomorrow would be better. Well, my tomorrow never came. So,
you know, I'll tell you what I think the hardest part about ending a marriage is. Now, you may not agree with me. You know, everybody has a different experience, so we can't all agree. But I really do believe the hardest part is figuring out how to end it. You know, a lot of women are really afraid, or they're scared, or they feel they're going to hurt, you know, these men because they have this loyalty and love for them. And I think if you could just wake up, you know, if you had a wish, like I tell people, like these gay men go into these marriages many times hoping that it will be okay, hoping that they're going to be straight. You know, it's not like they intentionally try to trick us. They love us. They try it. It just can't work because they're gay. But it's not that they don't try. They just can't be what they're not. And I say many times that if men could take a pill and the next day wake up straight, no doubt in my mind almost all of them would do it. But, you know, unfortunately that's not the way it is. But I feel with women also, if you could take a pill and tomorrow not be married, I think the vast majority of women who are in the situation would do it, you know, if everything was behind you. The problem is it's just not that simple. And, Ms. D, as a therapist, what do you tell women on when they come to you with this? That it's so hard to break up. I don't want to be there, but I don't know what to do. Can you give any tips on that?
Absolutely. I'll go back to myself and the women I've worked with myself and a lot of the women I work with in general. I think the huge fear is fear of the unknown. You know, sometimes people like to dance, you know, so-called dance with the devil they know versus not dancing with the devil they don't know. So, you know, it's like there's almost some stability and chaos because you know what to expect, the unexpected, versus leaving that person, especially if you have, you know, a young family or even adult children, doesn't matter. Have a family with that person and dancing into the unknown. The unknown can be very scary. Doesn't mean you're crazy. Doesn't mean you're not normal. The unknown can be, we have fear of being unstable, have fear of, you know, possibly losing everything. Will we be able to survive? You know, so I think that fear of unknown can be paralyzing to some people. And when you explore those, like, you know, I'll explore those with women. Well, what's worst case scenario? What would happen? And then we go over those, well, what's the chances that that worst case scenario would really happen? Usually the chances are so slim that it won't happen. But, you know, and just in working out a plan, when someone has a plan, even though chances are the plan's not going to carry through exactly how you think it will, but when you have a plan, there's not as much anxiousness and not as much fear around the unknown because there's some stability in knowing you have that plan. So that's what we work on a lot, is just formulating a plan, and there could be plan A, B, plan C, plan D. We can go through different scenarios until that person gets comfortable enough to realize, you know what, I can survive, I can do this. This may mean I have to go back into the workforce, or this may mean whatever it may mean. You know, I may have to cash in part of my 401k, whatever it means to that person, to give them some stabilities, you know, walk through all these different plans. It can be so helpful because human nature, we really want to think we've got a plan going on. And I think that cuts into a lot of that fear, just being prepared, the feeling of being prepared. The feeling of being prepared will help you make a lot of sound decisions. I truly believe that, instead of just making decisions on impulse, like, you know, just going with the flow. You know, divorce can be, you know, things can pop up, separation, things can pop up. And, you know, it's good to plan that out and just look at different scenarios, different plans. And another thing I tell all women, you really, good sound advice is to emotionally divorce first. I try to do it the other way around. I try to just go ahead and get divorced and not worry about the emotional part, just try to stuff it under. Well, that was my first attempt. I even failed, which that made me feel even worse, failing at a failed marriage to dissolve it. So what I did, I thought, wow, this is not as easy as I thought it was going to be, and I didn't have children either. So my heart really goes out to these women that, you know, they do have, you know, a lot of these women do have a young family that they have to, you know, be concerned about their welfare. So, you know, just having a plan and also emotionally divorced. That's two of my greatest tips any woman I think should have when going through this. And emotionally divorced is, you know, you really need the support, whether it be professional or someone that really, really would have your back, have your best interest at heart, your safety, that you can go to and talk to and build yourself up. And a lot of times that helps with the emotional divorce. So I had to really emotionally divorce him because I had, number one, it was an abusive relationship, which was not related to him being gay. He was just abusive. That was just a part of the mix I got. So I was concerned for my welfare, so that made it more complicated. Number two, I was concerned and felt bad for him and the way he's going to lose all of his family if they find out he's gay. I even carried that guilt. I mean, I was carrying everybody's guilt in all this. And finally, I thought, wow, when I'm emotionally divorced, I thought, this is me. I've got to separate myself from his stuff. His stuff needs to be his stuff. He can own it. I have to own where my fear is coming in, and I have to spend all of my energy on myself. It sounds selfish, but that's okay. Being selfish is healthy sometimes. Well, most of the time it's been healthy, especially if you're taking care of yourself. So that's what I did. They helped me.
I think we've been so unselfish for so many years, and that we haven't taken care of our own needs, that we're so used to taking care of others. And that's why, you know, I'm not saying that all of us are pretty much the same, but most of us are pretty much the same. Most of, you know, the majority of women who we've met and who we've gotten to know over the years, they're warm, nurturing, caring women. We're caretakers. We're helpers. I mean, it's no coincidence that I would say about 85% of us are in some kind of helping field, either teachers, nurses, counselors, mental health workers. You know, it never stops amazing me, that connection of helping. So I think that by nature we are helpers to start with, and we're always looking to help others. And a lot of times as helpers we don't take care of our own needs. You know, and I think when you get stuck in these marriages that you're really fighting so hard to make your husband happy because nothing you do ever satisfies him, and then you're always internalizing, well, I'm doing something wrong because I can't make my husband happy. And you just lose track of who you are because you're always trying to be someone who you're not. You know, in a way, I think it's kind of like a similar thing as I'm talking about in Athena. They're playing a game and trying to be who they're not, and we're losing ourselves and becoming who we're not.
Exactly. That's the devil of it. That's the hypocrisy of it. You know, that absolutely. That's the horrible part of it, because I didn't even know who I became. I didn't even know myself by the end of that marriage. I was a strong woman before.
I met my ex-husband. I mean, I really got weak in that marriage. I think when you just feel, you know, if you're at a vulnerable time of your life and you marry someone who knows how to find that vulnerability and they keep telling you that you're doing something wrong, they're not unhappy. You're the one who's unhappy. They don't think the marriage is failing. You think the marriage is failing. They don't have a problem with the marriage. You have a problem with the marriage.
They're fine with the marriage. It's your problem. Exactly. And you know, in hearing that, I mean, you're being spoon-fed that for 10 years. Like myself, I was spoon-fed that for 10 years. It's very, you know, I really forget now what I went through back then. And, you know, and I don't like to lose sight of that, especially when we're on the show, because I do understand when it, you know, how difficult it can be to leave, because you're spoon-fed that for all those years, your inadequacies, that you truly start to believe them, how awful it is. And, you know, at that point in time in my life, I had a psychology degree. I didn't have my master's. I didn't know I was going to go on to be a therapist. But, I was educated. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how smart you are. Doesn't matter, you know, what your income is. It doesn't matter how educated you are. It doesn't matter. When you sit there and you're spoon-fed, all these things for all these years, it just keeps building up. And eventually, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back, you know, when you're going to snap into believing all these horrible things about yourself.
Well, I agree with you. I think it's just a matter of time until you become somebody who you're not.
Exactly.
And then the women who write to me that they're taking medication so they can cope in their marriages, that really upsets me. You just don't know how. That probably bothers me more than anything else. I'm not bothered that they're taking the medication. I'm bothered by the whole concept of having to take medication so you can stay in a marriage. I mean, it really scares me when I think about that, that you have to alter your mind in order to live with someone.
Absolutely.
I find that very frightening, too. Well, moving on to other subjects, I don't know how we quite got off on that one. But there's been a lot of talk, and I've had several, you know, of our members who have written to me that they wanted us to discuss the issue of John Travolta, because there's been a lot of news about him, and I'm sure you've heard about it too, right?
I have been away. You know, I keep my diet of television very low, you know, being a therapist, I keep that very low. But yes, I have heard and read some things. I may not be as up to date on it as you are, but yes, I have heard a little bit about it, the accusations.
And, you know, like I said, when I first heard about it, you know, I didn't, like, overreact to it. And, you know, I was a little surprised. But, you know, once again, I didn't think it was something that was so horrible. But so many people have been making, you know, like a really big deal out of it. And today in the Huffington Post, I got a note from Juliet Jeske, who was one of our a few months ago. Juliet, you know, just writes a beautiful blog for Huffington and the Huffington Post. And she was married to a gay man. And she did a beautiful job of articulating that a few months ago on the Huffington Post. And they picked up this article, which did cause a lot of controversy in the comments. But I'd like to read it and then get your reaction to it. And it says, Travolta, gay or not gay, why should we care? It says, speculation on John Travolta's sexual orientation has dogged the actor for years. Is he or isn't he gay? He has been married to actress Kelly Preston since 1991. Publicly, they have always maintained that their marriage is completely traditional. So why do these rumors persist? Is it mere speculation? Is he living a secret homosexual life? Is he an easy target because of the roles that he has played? I have a somewhat vested interest in this story because nearly 3 years ago I left my husband when I discovered he was gay. I have a particular disdain for the closet and for anyone perpetuating secrets and lies about their sexual orientation. John Travolta is far from the only high-profile personality who has dealt with these types of accusations. Others have included Tom Cruise, Ryan Seacrest, George Clooney, Kelly Clarkson, Alicia Keys, and even Oprah Winfrey. In the case of Travolta, most of the allegations have been from men seeking monetary gain, although not all of them have sought money, as one man simply went to the press with his story. Then there is Vicky Lizzy, a longtime girlfriend of the now-deceased actor Jeff Conway. She now claims that years ago, Travolta sexually assaulted her partner while he was sleeping. It is difficult to ascertain her reasonings for revealing this accusation now, as her deceased partner cannot collaborate her story. But at the same time, what does she have to gain from telling it? Was she paid for her story, or does she feel it's simply the time to be upfront and set the record straight, or in this case, set the record gay, now that multiple accusers have surfaced? Ultimately, someone's sexual orientation is his or her own business. Travolta should be free to love and have sex with whoever he wants and not broadcast this to the world. However, if he is hiding his true nature and living in the closet, he is setting a horrible example for young gay men and women. Moreover, if he is using a straight spouse as a cover, he is sending the message that to survive, you must hide and take others down with you. If he is using his wife as a sort of prop and she doesn't know it, then she has my deepest sympathies, although she entered this marriage with the full knowledge that her husband was gay or bisexual and that occasionally sexual affairs are part of the bargain, then none of this is our business. Travolta's religion, Scientology, has had a somewhat uneven history on the subject of homosexuality. The church officially states that it is one of tolerance toward gay people, but the original teachings of L. R. Ron Hubbard read as very homophobic. But it is not as if John Travolta is condemning the lives of gay people or working to suppress gay rights, like the hypocritical Ted Haggard, who was condemning gay people from the pulpit, only to later acknowledge they were having gay affairs. However, Travolta is gay and feels the need to hide his sexual orientation in order to be successful in his acting career, then it is a tragedy for him and for his family. The closet is a suffocating place to be. It forces a person to constantly lie and live in fear. They must lie to their loved ones, themselves, and their partners. If these accusations about Travolta are true, then I suspect that some of his gay partners might be out now due to resentment toward him for getting to have his cake and eat it too. That is, living the life of a straight man, free of the social stigma, harassment, bullying, and discrimination that gay people face while secretly seeking gay sexual encounters. Having personally dealt with a closeted gay husband, this cuts me to the bone. Most people in my position didn't know the truth until we invested years, sometimes decades, into a marriage. And we don't have the multi-million-dollar estates to soften the blow. With changing attitudes towards homosexuality and greater acceptance of gay people, no one should have to live like this. Other openly gay or bisexual actors like Zachary Quinto, Rupert Everett, Ian McClellan, Neil Patrick Harris, Ellen DeGeneres, Portia Del Rossi, Jane Lynch, and Alan Cummings haven't hurt their careers by coming out. After all, an actor's job is to play roles. We all know that John Travolta is not the same man who he was in Assassin for Hire and Pulp Fiction, nor is he Edna Turnbull from Hairspray. Plenty of women were swooning when Zachary Quinto portrayed Spock in the last Star Trek movie, even though we suspected he was gay. Travolta's sex life is his own personal business, but if his marriage is a fraud, then I wish he would come clean. If more gay men were open and proud, we would have much less suffering and no misled spouses like me. I would never want anyone else to go through what I've gone through. Living life is one half of someone else's life is torture, and I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy. So what do you think of that?
Well, you know, my first response is, regardless, my heart goes out to both of them. You know, because I've been in the situation, if he were to be living in a closet, my heart really goes out to her. I know what that's like. And if he's not, wow, my heart goes out to him for the rumor mill, because, you know, he is at a disadvantage with his fame and notoriety that, you know, unfortunately, some people jump on a bandwagon. This is the United States, and you have 10 people ready to pick up your case to do whatever, you know, and people do anything to get known sometimes, you know. I think it's a situation that I hope that people will let them work through instead of, you know, just maybe, hopefully a rumor mill won't come out of it, regardless of whether he is or isn't. And hopefully they can settle it privately. But, you know, that's probably not going to happen because they both have fame and notoriety. And my heart just goes out to them, regardless which way it is. It's not going to be easy either way. You know, how do you get past a rumor like that if it's not true? Because it's going to have some backlash somehow, I would think, in his career. And if it is true, my heart goes out to him, too. They've got a lot to sort out.
I was more concerned with the backlash that Juliet got from this column, which I thought she stated it so well. I didn't think there's anything that controversial about what she had to say. Do you?
Mm-hmm. Sound like a
I think she really hit the points on the head there. Here was one comment.
But I've been a straight wife, so I know what that feels like. You know? Yeah.
Exactly. One said here. Now, this is from someone, I guess, who's gay. Juliet, I think you need to reexamine your comments in relation to your admitted bias about the closet. We've come a long way in reducing bias against gay people, Now you want to fault them for choosing to keep their sexuality private if they choose? Who are you to say that people have to be role models? That is a choice, not a responsibility. For many, the closet is a better place to be until they are ready. It has as much to do with themselves as with others. And that is the key thing you overlook. No matter how accepting society becomes, it is ultimately up to that individual to determine if, how, and when they come out. How is someone wishing to keep their sexuality private setting a bad example for people? Everyone does not have to wear their sexuality on their sleeve, announce it publicly, or even tell their closest friends if they choose. Your marriage incident seems to have pushed you to an extreme position, one of which seems to demand that gay and lesbian people own up to their sexuality publicly. Your disdain for people who have either not come to grips with their sexuality or have and choose to keep it private is bigoted, disheartening, sickening, unempathetic, self-centered, re your own experience, and as intolerant as the best of religious right. Hooray, you have single-handedly created another bias for gays and lesbians to feel bad about. I applaud you.
Wow.
I think that was really taking it to the extreme.
That's an extremist. And, you know, he or she, whoever wrote that, I don't think is seeing it from a standpoint of a straight wife. I think she did a great job. I don't think she backed
me too.
One. I have lived that. I know what it's like. And also, to make note of, I have many gay and lesbian friends. And I agree, it's their choice to be open to people. Like some of the friends I have, they are not open at the jobs they have. They are not open to some family members. They are open to some of their friends. That's fine. I have no problem with that. And from hearing her story, I don't think she does either. What I don't think that person's taken in consideration is when that person's married to someone, not only are you, you know, closeting yourself, you're closeting your spouse. You're involving another person. And you're holding back information. I think that response just completely ignored the gist of that story and that how that you're involving another person and not being truthful to that person, because I think anyone and everyone should be entitled to live an authentic life. And when you don't have all the information to live that life, you're shortchanging yourself and the person you're involved with. That's my opinion.
Well, I'm not against people living in the closet. You know, I feel if that's where they're comfortable, that's fine. Just
Absolutely.
Don't be dragging me in there with you. I mean, if it's your choice to live in the closet, I'm not saying every gay person has to be out on the rooftop screaming I'm gay, because
exactly.
I don't believe in that at all. I feel that's a personal choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's nobody's business, you know, who you are or what you are, as long as it's not affecting somebody else. But when you go and you marry someone and you may be living in the closet, but you're out there practicing, you know, your sexual orientation, then that's another story, because, you know, that person's right in that closet with you, but you're not staying there. You're jumping out every time you feel a need. And I think that being I can certainly see where Juliet's coming from and what you're saying, Misty. You know, unless you've been on the side of the wounded wife, you know, you just don't know how painful that is and the damage that it does.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. You know, I think it's not, a lot of times, and we talked about this on the show not too long ago, how that the straight wife is not taken into perspective in terms of the pain, the anguish. And a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, how hard it is on the gay person. Absolutely, it's hard on that person. Don't, you know, step over the straight wife and forget her pain either. I mean, it runs deep. It's a pain that runs very deep, and it's earth-shattering. It's, you know, the death of relationship. I mean, it's all sorts of things that straight wife feels. So, you know, it's unfortunate when someone, like you said, just drags someone into the closet. And I can understand that happening, you know, because so many men that we've talked about before get married because I truly believe they think it will change. I think they believe they love that person enough that they can change. And, you know, when it gets to the point they realize, wow, I can't do this, there needs to be a talk. There really needs to be a talk between you and that person you married or you're with and go from there. I don't think it's right to hold anyone in the closet that doesn't know that they're in the closet, you know. You know, if you don't know you're living in the closet, but you are, that's not a fun place to live. So,
I mean, the only thing I would agree in that particular article, and that's really the only thing I agree with, is that, and I don't think Juliet meant it to be like this. You know, I know I can't speak on her behalf, but, you know, I don't feel that gay people all have to be role models to each other. It's not necessary for every gay person to stand up and say, hey, I'm gay. You know, I feel that that should be a choice, whether you want to live an upfront gay life or in the back gay life. I don't feel that we have any say in that.
No.
You know,
no,
that's
a
private decision.
I agree with that. I mean, I don't wear on my sleeve, hey, I'm straight. You know, I mean, I don't have to tell everybody that. You know what I'm saying? So I think everyone has that right. It's not everyone has that right of who they want to tell or who they don't want to tell.
You know, it's funny. A few years ago, not that this has, you know, it's not directly related, but indirectly, I would say about 20-some years ago, when I was working for an agency that really helped welfare people to get off of welfare, and I wanted to start a support group called Future Former Welfare Mothers. And this would be for women who were on welfare to get mentoring from others who had been on welfare like me and who have found their way off, you know, through whatever route I had to take because I didn't want to stay there indefinitely. And I thought it would be really great to have a mentoring type of system. And I came up with this whole program, and some people thought it was beautiful and wonderful. And I called a few women who, you know, were in the professional world with me who I knew had been on welfare also, but they overcame tremendous odds and they went to school, like, you know, much like I did. So they would never have to remain there and they became professionals. And I thought, wow, this would be great. You know, they'll probably love doing this with me and we'll all join this group together. It was so amazing to me how many people would not volunteer their time or get involved with it at all.
Wow.
Because they didn't want that stigma that they had been on welfare. They were afraid to let people know.
Wow.
You know, while I was out there bragging, yeah, I was a welfare mother, but I'm not anymore. You know, I've been able to get off that system, and you can do it too. You know, let me show you the ropes. But they didn't even want people to know that, you know, they felt it was such a terrible social stigma. So that's when I realized that you can't make people feel the same way you do, and I don't expect them to. They don't have to stand up and march in a parade. You know, they don't have to be part of a gay pride, you know, rally. They just have to, you know, if they want to live their lives quietly and not let people know, I'm perfectly fine with that. What I'm not fine with is that when they feel they need to drag somebody into that life with them, you know, to use as a cover, and even though that doesn't always happen for sure, I don't think it does at all, but sometimes it does, and I think that's really contemptible as far as I'm concerned. How do you feel about that?
I agree with what you're saying. It's unfortunate that some people, like with the welfare thing you were talking about, making the analogy that, you know, some people do want to, I would say, cover up their roots and hide where they're from or, you know, where they came from. And that's people's choice. It really is. And also, I think it's okay if you don't want to live out loud and tell everyone who or what you are, what you believe in. That's okay, too. It really is. I don't think we're putting any gay or lesbian person on blast and say, you absolutely have to tell the world you're gay or lesbian. No. I mean, that can be traumatizing for some people. They're going to lose their family. You know, if they come up from a family that's so strict, you know, has such a strict religion and condemn them to hell for their sexual choice, you know, their sexual, excuse me, their sexual preference. And, you know, and I have talked that, you know, I feel people are born that way. And, you know, it can be traumatizing. So, no, I don't think anyone's been put on. I don't think we have ever promoted a show that where gay or lesbians are put on blast. Oh, you have to tell adamantly. No, because, I mean, they could affect their job. They could, you know, because people do. I mean, the reality is people continue to hold prejudice against things like that. And it's the person's right who they want to tell. Now, there's a fine line when you drag someone else in the closet. If you're involving someone unknowingly, you know, my suggestion is that please don't let them know.
And that's why I say I don't judge anybody what stage they're at or what point they want to be at. And I know it must be very painful depending on your family background and your religious reasons. So I certainly don't say you have to tell people, but you have to be honest with someone who loves you and is looking to spend a life with you. I mean, that's a little bit different, I think.
I think so, too.
So, but anyway, that was Juliet's article, and if you would like a copy of it, You can write to me at bondk@aol.com, and I'll be happy to forward you the link to that from today's Huffington Post. So getting back to John Travolta, does it matter if he's gay or not, Misty?
Well, to me, it's none of my business. Being a straight wife, my heart goes out to, I think his wife's name's Kelly Preston. I think I'm right there. I'm not for sure. My heart goes out to her. You know, I hope that they can sort through things and sit down and discuss this matter and come to a decision of, you know, where to go next, where to go next in terms of, is this a rumor? Is it not true? Because, you know, people can start horrible things. They truly can. And then you can always find someone to jump on the bandwagon. The other thing is, worst case scenario, what if it is true? You know, it's, I know what she's going to be going through.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful. It's horrible. It truly is. It's horrible. So it's not going to be easy. The relationship's going to be on blast. You know, they're going to have a gazillion cameras. I couldn't imagine, you know, going back all these years that I've been divorced and going back those years, if I had been in that situation and having all this limelight on me, I mean, I was barely able to get through the divorce without that. I can't imagine the added pressure of that next level of, you know, they're both, you know, he's an actor, she's an actress, they've been very successful. I just can't imagine the press, the coverage, the hounding that's going to become. It's just going to be so hard for them to get some privacy, I would think, to get to that point and have those discussions. And hopefully they'll be able to do that. That's my hope for them, that they will be able to, you know, get whatever resources they need in a private matter, because I don't think it's the public's business. I really don't. I think it's a personal, it's a family affair. It's between her, it's between him. And I just hope they get the help and the resources that they need, and that it's, that all of it's not made public. I'm not agreeing that it's public business. I think they need to be able to settle it however they choose to settle it. And I just hope that they get the privacy and resources that they need.
Well, I think that regardless, this has really caused a very big stir in the media.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like wherever you go, you're reading about this. And I just feel really bad about the whole thing. Because personally, I couldn't care less if John Travolta, you know, is gay or isn't gay. But he seems like a really decent man from everything I've heard about him.
I'm sorry
that his best to be in such chaos over people making, you know, such a controversy out of this.
Right.
But I think that's maybe one of the reasons why gay people are afraid to come out, because look at all the hoopla, and he's not even out yet.
Right. If that's the case, then he is. I mean, look what a mess they're doing. That should be able to be handled privately between, you know, him and her. And the press, I don't think, is going to allow that.
Mm-mm.
So my heart goes out to them. I mean, they've been through a lot. You know, they've lost their son. That was very publicized. And now this. I mean, I would think that, they're facing some difficult times at best.
Mm-hmm. Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, Misty, we said we'd have a shortened show because it's a holiday weekend, and we just wanted to be in touch with our listeners. And if you have any opinions or any thoughts on things you'd like to hear about, write to me at bondk@aol.com. I know in 2 weeks, Misty, we're having one of our favorite guests back, Patsy Ray Dawson.
Mm-hmm.
Patsy's, you know, counselor for Christian women. And she really has a lot to say about, you know, why to leave these marriages. So we'll be seeing her on June 10th. And sometime by the end of the month, we'll have the pleasure of having Dr. Brian Hooper, who always gives us good perspective on how we should be looking at things.
Absolutely.
So without any further ado, we're going to say goodnight. And Misty, I hope you have a wonderful holiday tomorrow.
Thank you. And you as well.
Thank you.
Yes, and I'd like to, you know, as you mentioned a little earlier, all the servicemen and women, you know, may they all be blessed, past, present, future, for our great country, and all those, just in memory of those. I appreciate the service they've given our country, regardless of mine or anyone else's political views. I feel very thankful and grateful for those men and women. And good night, and love to all.
All right, good night, and love to all of you, and we'll be back next week. Good night.
Good night.